So thank you for the invitation and welcome. You're aware, especially those who live in Iqaluit, we're the capital of the territory with approximately 1,000 residents and probably about another 2,000 in the community at any given time. We are, without a doubt, one of the major media hubs with CBC, APTN, IBC situated here, as well as the print media. And that as also the place for the seat of government, a tremendous amount of decisions, not only for this community, but for this territory are made. And we also want to stress, as always, is that Iqaluit is not representative of the small communities. They have their own, challenges and opportunities. And so the views that I express today shouldn't be construed as being representative of the small communities, both decentralized or centralized. So broadcasting is an important sector of our society, in so much as that it gives our citizens an opportunity to engage with each other, to be informed, either formally through such institutions as the media, but it also is an opportunity for cultural content to be produced and disseminated and shared and consumed. Now, one of the biggest issues for this territory is the state of our telecommunications infrastructure. So we are the only region left in Canada that has no fiber optic connection, and we're 100% solely dependent on satellite. And as a result, it does pose, some unique challenges for us. Specifically, is that the connection is very slow, it's not stable, and it's extremely expensive. And it appears, even as the years go by, as more and more parts of Canada are getting better telecommunications infrastructure and upgrade in services, is that we fall behind to the point that I simply, even last week, could not download applications to be able to do, many aspects of my work. And I hear regularly from people who work in the media and or producing cultural content is that it becomes really restrictive. It's very prohibitive to the point that once you've shot, or recorded your content, more often than not, you have to send your content to the South to be able to edit it and to even upload it and to be able to share with the world. And which is extremely absurd when you think about content that is being made by Nunavummiut and Inuit for Nunavummiut and Inuit. And so whether you're here in Iqaluit or you're a Suma, productions up in Iqaluit or in Clyde River or in Arviat, where there is, or Peng, Lirtung, where there is cultural content that's being made, that people outside of our territory have easier access to our cultural content than ourselves. And even though the federal government has made in commitment to additional funding for broadband, the reality is that these extra funds continue to primarily go towards satellite or companies that are buying satellite bandwidth and without significant improvement in services. So while I and some others are lobbying at the federal level to see some significant investments into fiber or other telecommunications infrastructure, we've yet to see, a concerted plan in place to address, how are we going to have our northern regions connected. And so when I speak to that, it's not just the city of Iqaluit or our community. We're talking about Nunavut, Nunavik, and Labrador. And I appreciate that there are different interests that are attempting to align themselves, to situate themselves in a position to be able to do that. Most of the interests are very much working on their own. My fear is that without a concerted collaboration, is that we could see infrastructure, telecommunication infrastructure being built that is owned and managed by one region on behalf of the other regions. If we don't have a say early on or even a stake in that infrastructure, then we could find ourselves, in a similar situation as, the airlines, which are two airlines servicing the northern regions, and we simply do not have that that same interest at stake, and we're not as being well served as we possibly could be, and the prices have gone, exorbitantly up. So when CRTC held hearings all across the country and have now recently made some pronouncements and recommendations at the federal level about the need for better services and minimum services across the country, the next question is how. And so, it's not just a question of just one type of service. I mean, broadcasting, is all spectrums. So it's being able to produce radio content and upload that as podcasts. It's everything from being able to produce video content. It's from, being able to also, one basic thing that our residents have repeatedly asked for, but we haven't been able to deliver on, is being able to even broadcast council meetings. So that way, in real time, people could be tuning in either on the radio or television, and being able to have more access to the representative body that is acting on the community's behalf. There's so much that we can and should be able to do, right now, until we see our politicians at all levels, really stepping up and saying that, how are we going to do this? Who's going to do it, and how much is it going to cost? We don't want to find ourselves in a situation where we didn't get in on the ground level. What happened already to us and Northern Quebec or Labrador when they installed fiber optic link between Nuuk and Greenland to Newfoundland, and there's no branching unit, so effectively there's little or no ability for us to connect in without almost the same cost as a new build. Broadcasting is everything from, community radios to video and media to cultural content. I think we are a uniquely and rich culture that has so much to offer, not only to be able to share that amongst our own internal audience, but also the world. And I just know that if we are able to make those connections, we will see so much more creativity and products that, especially when I think of the youth that are coming up and through, and I have been in contact with the folks in Clyde River or Narviet, and it's too bad that, you know, literally those communities aren't here and able to share their experiences directly. Because when I was talking to Jamie Bell, one of the things that he's seeing is an actual out-migration of youth out of this territory because they're not able to express themselves or access, you know, cultural content or share cultural content with others. And I don't think we fully understood or grappled with what that really means to our territory or our communities. When those opportunities simply don't exist. And maybe just to end sort of my thoughts on the subject matter, I remember a few years back when I attended a telecommunications summit, and which was primarily well attended by either politicians or bureaucrats, and thankfully a few folks from the industry, and they were some folks in the room who were musing, you know, why we weren't seeing more young people getting into the industry, and how the different main employers, primarily government, you know, are struggling to attract or retain people in effectively communications and broadcasting services, or everything that supports it, and I just actually had to sort of like, you know, laugh and shake my head. And I said, well, I'm not surprised. If we're working on such outdated systems that, of course, you know, why would you think anyone wants to, you know, participate in an industry where the systems are, by all sort of, you know, telecommunication standards, is dinosaur mode. You know, it's the reason why you know, people are attracted into broadcasting and all the mediums is because it is so dynamic. It is so, you know, cutting edge, and so it's no one wants to really be working on you know, systems that are not current, or worse yet, on a telecommunications sort of systems that literally where you cannot, you know, inconsistently or adequately connect with the World Wide Web. So, you know, those are some of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you today. I don't know how much they're on point or not, given, you know, the information I was able to read and glean from your schedule, but it's a shame to see such creativity, such rich cultural content, and not being able to be produced because of something as simple as the poor nature of our telecommunication systems in the north. So that's it.
Thank you, and very on point, definitely on point about what we're here to hear and grasp, and what we can then, you know, hopefully put in this report and send to the CRTC. And to answer your question, I said this morning, and I meant to repeat it several times, if there are people in communities that you know that want to participate in this discussion, because it's ongoing until the end of June, and even then we might be an extra post-conference meeting in Montreal that we're thinking about. So, you know, there's still time and a place for these people to participate in some way. And again, if you have to send me a flash drive to get it there, then all the better, we'll put it online, but eventually hopefully you'll be able to do it yourselves. Thank you so much for coming here and sharing this with you. It's appreciated. Are there any questions for Madeline? Do you have a question? Yeah. Madeline, a few years ago, I was reading the newspapers about the possibility of fiber optic, and I thought it was almost a done deal. What happened to that?
Well, the company Arctic Fiber was purchased by an Alaskan company called Quintilium. And they, without a doubt, have proceeded with that component of that build. And I understand from the Alaskan senator, who I just saw a couple weeks ago in Washington, is that they'll be doing what's called a turnkey, literally turning on the fiber system in the next month or so. I think May is the scheduled date. And everywhere I've traveled in the Arctic and rural remote areas, you know, fiber is absolutely seen to be a transformative infrastructure. So the company's Quintilium is still showing on their website a commitment to do their original concept. The next phase, from what I understand, is to connect Alaska to Asia and to the south of 48, down towards Seattle, I believe, and effectively closing in what is a triangle to allow some redundancy. And then at some point, you know, looking to move east. There are several other entities that have expressed interest. So KRG, which is based out of Nunavik, and there's a secondary company that, you know, out of Nunavik that I, for whatever reason, can't remember. And Nunavut Resources Corporation has also indicated some interest. My fear about the smaller regional entities is my discussions with the telecommunications industry is that unless you really do come from the telecommunications industry, especially on subsea fiber optic expertise, is that the industry will screw you over. and they don't even say that maliciously. You know, they just say that if you can't, you know, come to us with a clear understanding of the technology, the whole concept of the design, of financing models, you know, you really can't leave it up to them to do that on your behalf. And there are areas where there can be cost savings, but there's also areas where under no circumstance should there be, you know, cost cuts to come in, to make a project such as that to come in under budget. So that's why I've been pushing, you know, the federal government, who will, you know, if they do back it, such a project, which I, from all indications, they recognize that, you know, that they're going to have to do something, is that there should be something created like a federal task force with all regions participating, with high-tech expertise to guide not only the federal government but our regions, to look at everything from, you know, the best design to meet our needs, and which is a combination of probably fiber but also terrestrial microwave. So if you brought it into Iqaluit, because of this economies of scale, makes sense here. But you can connect many communities on our island by microwaves infrastructure. So it's, I believe that within the next 5 years, there will be, you know, announcements made that fiber is coming. Exactly who, you know, and where and how have yet to be determined. But as I said earlier, we have to be incredibly cautious that this region, this territory of Nunavut, simply doesn't sort of like defer all, you know, of that responsibility and opportunity to another region. You know, my experience is that no one looks after your interests better than yourself. And that you really need to have folks that take the time to really understand this industry so that you're able to adequately participate and not literally, you know, be sitting in a room or in negotiations and literally not be able to understand, you know, the discussions and the negotiations and making the necessary contributions that will protect, as I said, our regional interests.
Thanks. Any other questions?
Thank you.